With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. A lot of people know about the Berkeley Pit in Butte, but may not know about another significant pollution challenge in the mining city. It's called the Parrot Plume, and there's controversy over whether it needs to be cleaned up, and if so, who would pay for it. Last Sunday, the Montana Standard published a special report on the Parrot Plume by reporter Susan Dunlap. I recently sat down with her to talk about her stories.
What is the Parrot Plume?
It's contaminated groundwater that is very contentious. There's a big debate between the EPA and the state over what it is and what's happening with it. There's an aquifer of water. It's kind of in the middle of Butte, and there's tailings from the late 1800s that are there underground, and they're leaching into that water and creating a plume of contaminated sediment.
Why did you decide to write about this now?
Well, there's a foment of a small groundswell of people who are very concerned about the Parrot tailings. There have been a lot of public meetings where it's been discussed. And in the meantime, in the background, the consent decree negotiations are ongoing between the state and the EPA and the responsible parties, Butte Silver Bow and ARCO and the railroads. And the Parrot tailings were in the record of decision listed as being waste left in place. And once the consent decree comes out, then there's no going back. So there's a concern that if this isn't addressed now, then it'll never get addressed. In the meantime, you know, there are lots of people in Butte who don't know about any of this. It hasn't been explored much by the media, and so we felt that this was the time to take a good hard look at it.
Tell me a little bit more about the consent decree and the record of decision. What kind of timeline are we on for that?
The record of decision lays out what is the problem, and that was signed in 2006. And the consent decree is the legal document that says this is who's at fault and this is what they're going to pay and this is what the cleanup's going to look like. All the discussions are very secretive or behind closed doors under court order, so the public has no ability to know what that discussion is. And, you know, once the cost has been laid out, once ARCO's liability is determined, then they do the work and they're gone.
Is there a due date for that?
No, there's not. The discussions are ongoing, and there's been some expression at public meetings that it might be signed by the end of 2016, maybe early 2017. No one knows for sure.
Is it clear that the Parrot Plume will or will not be addressed?
There is a concern that it won't be addressed. So that's part of the state's concern, I think, and just people in the general public who are aware and who are trying to foment some attention to this issue.
Is it clear that the Parrot Plume really is a problem and needs to be addressed and needs to be cleaned up, or is there a dispute over whether it's a problem?
That is the problem, is that the state and the EPA cannot agree over what's really going on underground. And the EPA says the plume is not moving. They say the capture system that ARCO has already put into place is fully capturing all of the contaminated groundwater underground, so it's not a concern. The state doesn't agree with those statements.
In your reporting, were you able to determine whether the EPA or the state is more credible in their claims that it isn't a problem or it is a problem?
Well, because I'm the reporter on the issue, I don't want to editorialize, but I really liked Jim Ford's comment. He's one of the scientists for the Natural Resource Damage Council with the state, and he made the comment that the record of decision was signed in 2006 and it's 2015 and they're still arguing the issue.
What kind of contaminants are we talking about?
There is copper, arsenic, cadmium, lead, and zinc. It's more contaminated than the Berkeley Pit.
Does anybody have any idea what it would take to clean it up?
Well, that's part of EPA's concern, is that to clean it up would be so astronomical that it's not feasible. The state has a proposal, which was discussed at a public meeting, called the NRD proposal, the Natural Resource Damage Proposal, in which they would put up $10 million. Another $10 million would come from what's left over from the lower Silver Bow Creek cleanup, and $10 million would come from ARCO. And they would take out the source of the contamination. That wouldn't completely solve all the problems, but then the aquifer would be able to clean itself up over time if that source were removed.
For the folks who believe that the plume is a problem that needs to be removed, what's the concern? Is it pollution of drinking water or of Silver Bow Creek, or what's going to be damaged?
There's no drinking water issue because Butte receives all of its drinking water from very far away. The concern is that the contamination will eventually reach Silver Bow Creek, and the $147 million that was spent to clean up the lower portion of the creek will be wasted.
You said that there's sort of a small groundswell of people in Butte who want to see this addressed or want to see it cleaned up. Are they siding with the state? Are they backing the state? Or do they have their own ideas about what needs to be done?
It varies. You know, there are some folks who I've heard say they don't trust anybody involved in this. But it seems that there is a somewhat of a consensus that the NRD proposal is a good proposal. And, you know, if this is the way to get it done, then let's do it this way and get it done.
So this NRD proposal is potentially part of this larger consent decree, right?
Correct.
And can you give me just a thumbnail of what that consent decree is aimed at? Outside of the Parrot Plume, what is it aimed at addressing?
It will address everything on the Butte Hill, stormwater, everything that has to do with the upper part of Silver Bow Creek, basically everything that's part of what they call Butte Priority Soils, which is the Butte Hill and the upper Silver Bow Creek.
Is there enough funding to take care of that, and where's that coming from?
Well, that's what the consent decree will establish, and presumably that money would come from ARCO.
If it is determined that the Parrot Plume does need to be cleaned up, is it obvious where that money would come from?
Well, if EPA decided, then it would presumably be ARCO would be liable.
Has ARCO weighed in on this? Do they have opinions about the Parrot Plume?
They do. They don't believe they're on the hook at all.
You said it's the EPA's position that the Parrot tailings, it should just be left undisturbed. The tailings and the source of contamination that are causing the Parrot Plume, that should be left undisturbed. What is EPA's argument for not disturbing it?
Well, part of it is that it would cost too much money. You know, the Civic Center is there, there's other development, and it would be too disruptive and too expensive to take it out.
Did you get a sense of the challenge in characterizing the contamination there? It's not necessarily a simple process to figure out what the problem is and the scope of it and what needs to be done?
Yes, I think so. It's all underground, so it's hard to know what's really going on there. The EPA argues that they do understand what's going on there and they have characterized the site adequately, but that's, again, a part of the debate because the state scientists I spoke with don't agree with that.
Did the state scientists give you any specifics of why the EPA assessment is wrong or what needs to be done to more accurately assess what the issues are?
There are a variety of issues according to the state scientists. One is that the placement of the wells, that they're in straight lines. Another is the depth of the wells. You have some wells that are deep, some that are shallow, but they're all treated the same. So you can't really understand what's going on if they're all treated the same, even though, because there are different things happening at different levels underground. The EPA says we have 135 wells at the site. It's adequately characterized.
This sounds like it was pretty challenging to figure out.
It was. It took months of talking to people, going to every public meeting that was held. You know, I had multiple conversations with EPA, multiple conversations with various people working at the state. It was definitely a lot of work.
What surprised you about reporting this story?
You know, our videographer went with me to videotape some things, and she videotaped the state scientists pumping water directly out of one of the wells where the tailings live, and she was shocked to see this. And it kind of surprised me that this is still so unknown to a lot of people who live here. He was pumping the contaminated water, and it was completely blue.
But not like a healthy blue water kind of blue?
No, more like Gatorade, but, you know, coming directly out of the ground.
What do you hope folks in Butte or elsewhere get out of the story and the package you guys put together?
If Butte residents believe there needs to be something done about it, I agree with what Senator Tester said. Butte needs to drive the bus on this. And so I think that residents here need to know what's really going on, what's underground, and what are the risks involved in leaving it in place. And if they want to see change, then they have to be the ones who have to create that change. And in order for that to happen, they have to understand what the issue is and what the debate is.
Susan Dunlap, thanks for joining us at Montana Public Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks very much for coming here to talk to me.
Susan Dunlap is the natural resources reporter for the Montana Standard in Butte. She joined us to talk about her special report on the parrot plume. You can find a link to her stories on our website, mtpr.org. I'm Eric Whitney.